The agenda is in the topic. For most of you, that's going to be at the top of this window. You'll see the link to the agenda. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at it as well. Are there any suggested modifications to the agenda? Okay. Not hearing any. Is there anyone new on the call? I don't believe I saw anyone new come in. Let me just ask. Is there anyone who's attending for the first time? Okay. Not hearing anyone again. So we're going to just move on quickly now to the next topic. Oops. Sorry, Matt, I overwrote you there. Okay. Now we're on the document handoff. Okay. So there are links. Let me just toss those in. Someone just joined using Linphone? Matt. Okay. Thank you. Welcome. All right, so at this point, Manu, I'm going to ask you for your sort of opinion on what still needs to happen for these two documents. Again, this is a CG sort of thing. I have not seen any responses, any comments, any opinions, any anything come in on the mailing list.
I mean, usually what what the chairs do is just send out a call for consensus to the mailing list. But you know, we could basically say that we did send the minutes for last week out, and one of the top resolutions was a resolution to publish and gather feedback. So you could say we've given proper notice, and at this point we can publish. The main thing is that there's no one objecting, right? So
exactly.
You could either do a official call for consensus and send that out to see if people respond, but I kind of doubt that'll garner a lot of pushback. Or what we could do now is the chairs could use the spec publishing link. Put the specs up as final community group specs, and people still have the opportunity to object at that point. And if we don't get any objections by the time the working group starts, we can safely assume that there won't be any objections going forward. Again, the really important thing is that the people that contributed language to the spec don't object, and I don't expect any of them to object. So let me give the link here so the chairs will use the following link to publish the final community group specs to those. So if the chairs, any one of the chairs can publish those two documents as final community group specs, I'm happy to work through that with whichever chair is going to do it. So we need one of the chairs to volunteer, and then I'll work with the chair after the call to do that.
I'll be happy to do that. This
okay.
is Dan.
Okay.
I sent a reminder yesterday, but I did not title it, call for consensus.
Okay.
So, most people follow the mailing list pretty closely.
Yep.
In this group, but I think this is the right thing to do. As you say, anyone can still object between now and next week, but I think that's highly unlikely.
Yep.
Manu, you had, I think, volunteered to go get consensus from the contributors?
That happens after we publish, but yes, I'm still volunteering to do that.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right, anything else on that topic? Matt, did you have anything else you wanted to add? I see you on the list, or was that it?
That was it, thanks.
Okay. Anything else on this topic? Nope, okay. Then we'll move on to, this is very brief. You know, we allocated a good number of minutes to this, but basically this is just a reminder, if you have not joined the working group and you intend to, please do so. From the charter, which I just dropped a link in for, you can, there's a link for joining the group. I considered putting just the joining link, but I'd rather that people go through the charter page and click on the link from there. Again, you will, if your organization is a W3C member, you're going to have to go through your advisory committee representative. Is there anyone who is having trouble, who has attempted to join the working group and is having trouble doing it? Manu, you're up.
I was just going to call out the people on the call specifically who are not a part of the group yet. Dan, you're I mean, strangely enough, I mean, not that they're going to kick you off the call next week, but you're not. Oh no, you're in through an IE. Okay, so that's fine. Are you figuring that out with Liam?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just it's a procedural thing having to do with invited expert status. Okay, it's
okay.
Not a.
Okay. Yep.
I actually thought I had filled out the form 3 weeks ago, but I hadn't. So,
right.
So I did it yesterday, and they have a meeting every Wednesday where they decide. You know, I doubt there's going to be a problem.
Yep.
But yeah, procedural.
Okay. Colleen Kennedy, you're not on the list, so that's important that Pearson gets you added to the list, whoever your AC rep is. Maybe that's Matt. Christopher Allen is there. Dave Longley is there. Greg Kellogg is there. Rob, you guys are not, but I think you're working through that. Adam Lake's there. Adam Migas is there. Matt Stone is there. And Matt Larson, you're not there. Were you expecting to be able to participate in the working group?
Yes. There's a thing in chat from Matt Stone.
Okay. Okay. All right. And Joe Andrew, you are not on there, so we're going to have to sort that out before next week. Joe, you're not
what
on there.
Take for invited expert.
Oh, well, you have to request to join. So you request that the chair.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, Joe, well, we can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I just submitted the request. It's got to go through the folks at SpecOps, so that's in process.
Okay, all right, good. And then someone prior to you asked, what does it require for an invited expert to join? You just have to submit an application. I don't have the link to that right now, but basically it's the chairs and the staff contact have to agree to invite you in as an invited expert. And typically you have to bring a skill set that nobody else in the group has. So it's not as simple as, you know, I want to join. It's without your help, we would not be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So that's typically the way groups look at it. Not every group has that bar. One other, I think, point, Christopher Allen, is that Martha is still under Blockstream in the group, and you may want to chat with her about affiliation. Don't scribe that, Matt.
Okay.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you. So I am dropping the link for the invited expert page. This is what Liam sent me to. So if you go there, that will have a link also to the form that you fill out. Okay. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this topic? Anyone else that needs help? Okay. All right. Thank you. Next topic. This is just a quick reminder that today is the last community group call at this time. Okay, and very shortly, so in the next the next agenda topic, we can discuss things like when the next CG call will be. But I just wanted to remind people, do not expect the community group to be talking at this particular time, because this time slot is now being used for the working group. Are there any questions about that other than what's the time? Manu?
No, this is I queued myself for the next topic.
Okay, just quickly what Matt.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Just quickly
ahead.
What Matt said is that the just frankly what that means is that the dial-in information will be different. We have been so as not to confuse people. We actually have held off on sending that out, but the chairs will send to the CG list. This week, the dial-in information for the working group. So we'll just try to make that clear in the subject line that what the dial-in information is for the working group call. You can get it on the group page as well. If you go to the charter link, you can go from there to the group page. And there'll be proper information there. But that's one of the things that we're going to do before next Tuesday. Christopher, was that your question about mailing list?
Yes.
Okay. So the right way to put it is that it's not that the call-in number is changing. It's not that the email list is changing. It's that there is a new working group being created that has a new dial-in number and a new mailing list. Okay? And we will send out that information this week. It might be at the end of the week, just after our normal chairs call. We will, in a moment, discuss what the CG is going to do, and the call-in number for the CG may remain the same, even though the time changes. So that's why I want to make clear that it's not that the information is changing; it is that there is a new group that is forming at this time with new mailing list and new dial-in information. Okay. Yes, I know there are people who are unhappy about WebEx. We'll not go into the advantages and disadvantages of that. But anyway.
Just really, really quickly on that, I'm half joking, but we'd be happy to provide this same conference system for the working group. It has its advantages, but you know, W3C tends to get cranky when we make that suggestion. So anyway, we could keep the same conference system if folks want.
Yeah, so I'm just quickly on that. I know I already asked you, Manu. I'll switch to you in just a moment here. You know, the chairs discussed that. We talked about possibly keeping it. We actually discussed that with Liam. And yes, as you say, W3C is strongly suggesting that we use WebEx. And Richard has a lot of experience in working with WebEx for conferences. And he thinks that actually we can get some really good results out of using it. We'll see. We're going to start with WebEx. We'll see how it goes. If it's not working well, then we will we'll switch back. Okay. All right.
That's fine. No strong opinion.
Yeah. Okay. So anything else on that before we switch to what is essentially open mic run by Manu? Okay, so this let me just explain this sort of open mic section is essentially the current chairs who are the chairs who will be transitioning to the working group are done with what we need to discuss in the CG. So in this section, we're going to hand it over to Manu to temporarily, for the rest of the call, act as a chair on any topics that are of relevance to the CG, not the working group, and not the work that the working group is doing, but what the CG needs to do, including call time, next topics, etc. Okay? So handing it over to Manu now.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Right. So as Dan mentioned, since the current chairs of the CG are transitioning to be the verifiable claims working group chairs, that opens up positions for new chairs in this group. It also opens up a question of scope and meeting time and a variety of related things. So you know, we're going to use some of this open mic to kind of get the ball rolling on the discussion of those items. I think the first, the first item that's up is change of leadership. I know Christopher Allen put his hat into the ring to chair last week. As many of you know, Christopher's also been running the Rebooting Web of Trust workshops, where a lot of the verifiable claims work has been done. And under his leadership, you know, that community has grown fairly large. So, and of course, Christopher is very versed in doing this kind of stuff standard. So, I think one of the folks that's interested in the job and well qualified to kind of take over the community, future direction of the community, is Christopher Allen. We've also been chatting a bit with Kim Hamilton from Learning Machine and Block Certs. She has most recently participated in the Rebooting Web of Trust stuff. She's done implementations around linked data signatures. They're actively using the verifiable claim stuff in their block cert stuff. And she said that she was also very interested in co-chairing. Unfortunately, she can't be here today because she's at the ASU GSV event. But she wanted the community to know that she's very interested in helping to kind of do the community group stuff, co-chair community group with Christopher. So that's the other, name that's in the ring right now for chairs. We can have one more before we need to have, an election of sorts. So this is kind of an open call for chairs for the group. If anybody else would like to throw their hat into the ring to chair the group, please speak up now. We will probably leave the call open for a week to make sure that people that could not be on the call can throw their hat into the ring. And if we have, less than three or less chairs, those chairs will be elected to run the group. If we have more than that, we'll have to do an election of sorts. So with that said, is there anyone else that would like to chair the group? Okay, so we'll send a request out to the mailing list to see if anybody else wants to run for election. And if not, it'll probably be Christopher and Kim. Christopher, did you want to say anything specifically on chairing? Because we're going to get into scope and we're going to get into scope and call time and stuff in a bit. But did you want to say anything specifically on chairing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm enthusiastic about the broader problem. But I think most of the questions regarding what is the broader problem that is appropriate for the group and such will come out of the next part of the agenda. And that's really where my biggest interest is whatever is needed to facilitate that to happen. I'd like to see it happen.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so the next thing up is meeting times for the new group. I think we'll tackle scope last because that may take the longest amount of time to discuss. There was a poll that was sent out last night about meeting times. I think the general, from what I gather, the general desire was to have meetings, the community group meetings, either directly before the call or directly after the call. So those were the only two poll times that were sent out. Joe, Andrew mentioned that, you know, maybe we could start on the half hour. I didn't put that as a poll time, but if people feel like that would, they would far prefer that, we could certainly discuss it. So let me put the poll link in here. So poll to meeting times. If you have not filled out that poll and you want to continue to be a part of the community group calls, please put in your preference for times. Dan, you're on the queue.
Thank you. One of the meetings that we don't have minutes for yet, because it was a time where you were gone, we actually discussed, we had a long discussion about meeting times and so on, and it was at that point that we talked about having the, keeping the current time of 11 to noon Eastern, 8 to 9 Pacific for the working group. And so at this point, I know the chairs would be a little nervous about trying to change that time, you know, and also for the reasons that you mentioned, Manu, starting on the half hour for the work group call, it risks overlap with other groups in a negative way. But I think, you know, at this point, since the call is starting next week, I would be really nervous about changing the time of the planned time of the call, which has been on the groups page for a little while. So,
agreed.
In other words, the working group call, unless you know, something catastrophic occurs, will be at this current time slot next week. We can always change it in the future if it turns out that that doesn't work for people.
Sounds good.
I'll note that Kim and I are both sort of not 7:30 a.m. people for Pacific time. So, but on the other hand, the preponderance of votes is for the 7:30 start. So,
yeah,
you can always move to the East Coast.
There it goes.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Unfortunately, you know, both of our chairs prefer the latter time. New potential chairs for the CG prefer the latter time, and yeah, unfortunately, they're being outvoted at this point. Christopher, is that like a, there's no way that you can make it, or is that just a, it's going to be painful and it's going to take a while for your brain to boot up?
It's not a no way. It's painful in the sense that it's like this morning, a late start for this call for me to be, have my IRC up and all that kind of stuff. So, and it's just the way it is.
Right.
I know
okay.
Other people have time zone, their own time zone problems. So.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, the way the votes are going, it looks like, you know, it's 10:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern is when the call is going to be. But that's only ahead by, you know, 3 votes. So it's not, well, actually, yeah. So anyway, yeah. So we're split. That's going to be a tough call.
I will say the advantage of the 9 o'clock is it kind of forces the working group to finish their agenda.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, if we get two more votes in, we'll do the latter time. Unfortunately, I should have put in a, if need be, option, because I don't know if we're going to start stomping on other people's meetings if we move it to the latter time. But anyway, perfect disagreement. We are almost in perfect disagreement on the time. So we'll just see. We'll wait until, you know, Sunday to call it, let's say. Or actually, let's say this Friday we'll call it and set the new time. So Friday of this week we will know the new community group call-in time, and we'll just go from there. Matt, you're on the queue.
I noticed looking at the poll results that a few very astute people, three, chose both. In other words, I assume that means that either works for them, they don't care.
Yeah.
And I wonder if everyone else who voted for one knew that was a choice.
That's a good point. Possibly not. And yeah, maybe we should proceed with that assumption that you could have, you know, people didn't know that you could pick both and they just picked their preference.
I'm not sure how to rectify that at this point. We've got 13 responses, you know.
Yeah, it's like even. I mean, it's even, you know, if it's, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
We'll make the call on Friday. I think, you know, people are just going to be unhappy. This is normal. Like, whenever you pick a call time, everyone's unhappy about it, just about. So this is good. Okay, Dan.
Yeah, just on the same topic, very briefly, I believe, Manu, you had said that you were asking people to specify which of the times they preferred, right? So it turns out if you actually put both, it doesn't really affect the scoring algorithm at all.
That's true.
So, right?
Yep, true. Okay, and then if it's dead even, it'll be chair's prerogative, and we know which way the chairs are going to vote.
Okay.
I think we're done with time. We'll be called on Friday by the new chairs, whoever those are, on Friday. Okay, so the last item up for discussion is scope of the new group. So I know Christopher has some ideas here, and I think, you know, Kim has some ideas. It's open mic for the entire group. So if the group feels that we're not working on something that we should be working on, or the focus may need to change a bit, you know, now's the time to discuss it. I will mention that the stuff that the working group is chartered to work on is specifically data model and syntax stuff, right? It is not protocol stuff. And there are a number of us in the group right now that absolutely need to work on protocol stuff because we need to deploy this. And so the protocol stuff, the expectation is, you know, the CG will shift to working on protocol stuff like browser polyfills and how do you move verifiable claims from an issuer to a holder and how do you move it from the holder back to an inspector. So that protocol stuff is probably in the new scope. But there are other things that may be interesting to put in that new scope. So, Christopher, why don't you go ahead, and if other people can queue up with thoughts that they have on the new scope, please do so while Christopher's talking. Go ahead, Christopher.
Yeah, so if you go back to the Credentials Community Group Charter, you know, the heart of it for me is the sentence, the purpose of the Credentials Community Group is to discuss, research, document, prototype, and test credential storage and exchange systems for the web. And, you know, I'm personally, that's my core goal. And I think that, you know, is why everybody, you know, has been pushing for verifiable claims. I think maybe the difference is that now that there is a beginning of a new working group that can do standards work, that we take advantage of what the Credentials Community Group can do, which is publish reports and make recommendations and things of that nature. So, you know, the kinds of things that I'm very interested in and have already been trying to pull together are things like, you know, what exactly is selective disclosure? How does it work from, you know, everything from a data minimization sense to true cryptographic selective disclosure with, you know, all the latest that the crypto community can offer. It's not well defined. People get confused about the different aspects of it. It's a worthy it's a worthy topic for the Credentials Community Group to collaborate on, come to some language things in agreement on. As Manu said, the working group is limited in its current charter on some very specific areas, in particular around protocols. There is emerging, a number of desires to how do we exchange these data structures, and there may be more than one proposal. So, kind of incubating and testing some different ideas and approaches for doing that is, clearly something that would be good for the community to do. And if at some point something emerges that is mature and such, we can, submit it to the working group to consider adding to, trying to see if they desire to add it to their charter or whether or not, there's some other way to get it done, which, in many cases, maybe it doesn't need to be done. It can just be an ad hoc standard. It could be submitted to ITF or, even an organization like ISO or whatever if necessary. But I think it's well within the charter of a community to be able to say, hey, here's some different approaches we've tried, and here's our recommendation, where to begin. Another area that's very, interesting and beginning to have some maturity, we had two demos at Rebooting Web Trust of DID-based systems, so that's a decentralized identifier. There isn't currently a home for discussions about decentralized identifiers and their consequences. Not everybody needs them. A lot of members of the credentials community group don't need to have a decentralized identifier. But those who do, would like to have a place to be able to continue that conversation. So that's just, three big areas that I think this group could continue to have an impact on. So it depends on who participates, what people want, we want, I'm committed to a very collaborative and consensus-oriented thing rather than, being dictated by a single company or party. That's it.
Manu?
Yeah, just to follow on to a couple of things Christopher said. I mean, I think, thinking about scope for this group, meaning the community group, what we've done is we've worked very hard to create kind of this funnel, a technology funnel. And right now, I mean, we couldn't have predicted, this would be kind of how we were set up today, 2 years ago. But what we have today is, a bunch of people working on the bleeding edge at Rebooting Web of Trust that are prototyping and experimenting. Some of that work gets funneled into this community group, right? And we kind of put the ideas in the white papers that come out of Rebooting Web of Trust into W3C spec format, and we start kind of engaging with the W3C membership in the community group and building support for the work. And then, eventually it gets into a working group. So the Verifiable Claims Working Group is now set up with a fairly limited charter and scope. So to me, that seems like that's the funnel we have today. And I can at least see that funnel working fairly well for the next year or two. Meaning, Rebooting Web of Trust still has a number of things that it's working on. The community group is being rechartered right now to potentially align with that stuff along with some other stuff we need to align with. And the Verifiable Claims Working Group charter scope, the expectation is that that group will be rechartered to do something. So the work that this community group ends up doing more than likely will feed into version 2.0 of the Verifiable Claims Working Group. So that's the stuff that we have to kind of, figure out over the next year, the year and a half. If we don't figure that out, my concern is that we break the funnel. Right. So all of a sudden we don't have a working group to put the work into, and we go through another 2 to 3 year process of convincing the W3C membership they should spin up something new on the work that we're doing here. So we don't want to get stuck in that position. So I think, you know, in addition to the things that Christopher mentioned, you know, we need to look at things like selective disclosure. We also have a number of digital signature formats that, you know, everyone that's using verifiable claims are using, but we are not necessarily chartered to ratify those things. We're chartered to kind of work on them and work on suggestions for signature formats for verifiable claims. The charter doesn't go so far as to say that we will be working on digital signature formats. So digital signature formats and getting those in good shape to put into a W3C working group is something I think the scope of the group should include. We are currently having discussions with, you know, some folks in W3C staff and management over the signature stuff. Christopher also mentioned decentralized identifiers. I know, at least from our company's perspective, decentralized identifiers are key to creating data that's portable, so verifiable claims that are portable, that you can move from one digital wallet to another digital wallet, for instance. If you use URLs, you end up getting vendor lock-in, pretty strong vendor lock-in. So that's a bit antithetical to at least what our organization is trying to do with this technology. So we'd like to see decentralized identifiers taken up by W3C membership at some point in the next 2 years. Again, that stuff has been worked on very heavily in rebooting Web Trust and continues to be worked on. The other interesting thing about decentralized identifiers is that they kind of sort of require a blockchain to work properly, right? So we have been skirting around blockchains in this group kind of on purpose, but we may want to start bringing the blockchain discussion into the group a bit more. And that's one of the reasons that I think, you know, Kim Hamilton would be a good co-chair for this group, is she brings that perspective. And of course, Christopher, you know, works for a blockchain company as well. So we have a pretty significant uptake of verifiable claims within the blockchain community. And as a result, we should, you know, the scope should reflect that. We should mention that somewhere in the new mission. So those are just a couple of ideas. Again, to recap, you know, digital signature formats, decentralized identifiers, and blockchains with this particular focus on how all of these fit into the funnel we've created and how we can kind of, you know, queue up the work so that we don't have a break in our process that we've set up. Okay, that's it for me. Anyone else? Thoughts, concerns, suggestions on scope?
Christopher?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add a little more, which is, you know, one of the things that I bring with me is, you know, clarity on some of the security and crypto aspects of things, which I think, you know, we need to get to the point where, you know, we're not rolling our own, but, you know, we actually have some, you know, crypto experts that are participating and, you know, reviewing these at a higher level. Similarly, I think one of the things that, you know, Kim is bringing is, you know, she's actually implementing it. She's a coder. This isn't the ITF, but I think one of the things that that's, you know, always been aspiring with ITF is, working code is an essential, you know, part of the process. So that's one of the other things I would like to see, you know, the community group be, you know, active in is, more prototypes, more open source examples, et cetera, that don't necessarily have to conform to, the requirements of a final standard. I mean, that's one of the advantages that a community can do. That's it.
Okay. Anyone else? I'm a bit concerned that the discussion has been dominated by Christopher and myself. It would be good to hear from others on their thoughts on this direction. Good, bad, agree, disagree. Did we miss something?
Dee Longley is on the queue.
Yeah, I haven't spoken up because I'm largely in agreement with the direction. I would primarily, as one of the first items, like to see some browser polyfill stuff move forward and have people experimenting and working with that. Because I think that's very key to getting this out to a wider audience, getting verifiable claims out there to into the ecosystem.
Thanks, Dave. Joe?
Yeah, I like just about everything that's been said. You know, the reason I joined this group was because I was inspired to chew on SDG 16.9, which is to give everyone on the planet a legal identity by 2030. And, you know, I'm still sort of trying to figure out how out of scope that might be for the community group. I know it didn't make it into the charter. So I just wanted to voice that. I mean, I'm not going to stop participating, but I'm listening more than saying that that's where I think we need to invest a lot of effort.
So just a quick response to that, Joe. You know, in scope tends to be what people work on. So if you're going to work on it, it's probably going to be in scope, especially in a community group where we don't have to be as careful about intellectual property. That tends to be what drives the scope discussion in a working group, whereas what drives the scope discussion in a community group, you know, community groups tend to be far, far more broad. So I, you know, again, I think there are a number of people in this group that do care about the ID 2020 kind of goals, and I'd be very happy to have that as a discussion item, right? It's a there's nothing bad about trying to make sure that United Nations goal is met. So yeah, plus one for that being in scope. I mean, specifically, that shouldn't be out of scope, right? Someone says
okay,
no,
I think that's
not good. Go ahead.
Part of what I wanted to say, then I'll let you go, Chris, was I also wanted to be sensitive to, you know, there's a pipeline here, and I'm not sure how much of that can feed downstream. So, you know, I didn't want to bulldog on my pet issue was sort of where I was trying to be respectful.
Christopher, you're on the queue. I'll go after.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I mean, I want to concur there. I mean, I recognize there's some political sensitivity because of exactly the kinds of things, Joe, you've talked about, which is the confusion of what identity and authorization and all of this type of stuff is. I mean, I know that, for instance, at one time, verifiable claims was going to be the credentials working group, and we were just going to call these credentials, but then other people said, well, no, credentials means something else. So I think it's absolutely in our scope to be able to sort of articulate, you know, more effectively what do we mean when we're talking about the identity things that we care about as opposed to, you know, a formal standard that has said that, you know, identity under these circumstances is a username and password. You know, I think that all of that is, you know, worthy of discussion. And as terminology and other things emerge and as, you know, people work on things and we actually do some reports, I think we're in a much better position to basically, you know, even consider going back to W3C and renaming the community something appropriate. I don't think that they'll accept, you know, identity working group, but they may be willing to, you know, to accept other aspects of things that include credentials or and identity rather than having it be separate the way it is right now. I'm done.
Yeah. to respond to Joe's you know, bulldogging comment, I think it's you know, having a pet issue is fine. In fact, I think we'd prefer people to have pet issues as long as, you know, they result in a really nice, rich ecosystem that all of us want, right? So, you know, it doesn't, you know, the 69 goals, like, there probably isn't space for standardization on that specific thing at W3C, but W3C can create generalized technologies that enable that goal, right? So I think the you know, one of the mandates that this group could have, or people should give themselves in this group, is, you know, if you have a pet issue, just make sure that the technology supports that pet issue, right? It may never be like there's a standard, you know, there's a standard working group for SDG, you know, 69, but if the verifiable claims data model and protocol support enabling, you know, everyone on the planet to have their own self-sovereign identity, that's fantastic, right? So I think we can get there as long as we're careful about what we put into the working groups. The other thing that I wanted to mention that kind of cleanly gets into a discussion of what's out of scope. So we were very careful to not put identity in scope, because that leads to a whole bunch of esoteric discussions around what is identity, and everyone's got their own opinion, and it doesn't matter how well-formed your opinion of what identity is, someone's always going to disagree, and that disagreement results in lots of telecon time wasted kind of discussing it, and not enough time spent implementing it and deploying you know, solutions. So you know, I would say identity should continue to be out of scope. We should create technologies that solve identity problems, whatever your definition of identity is. But you know, if we were to say, oh, well, the next verifiable claims working group is going to be the identity working group, there would be enormous backlash from the W3C membership, just like the first time we tried that, right? The same thing with a credentials working group. If we tried to create one of those at W3C, the security people would their heads would explode, because credentials to them, as Christopher said, means username and password and Facebook login. It doesn't mean driver's license and passport and education credential. So yeah, as Dave is saying in IRC, we really need to be politically aware of what we're working on and what we're proposing to feed into a working group at W3C. So out of scope, you know, identity, you know, credentials to a certain degree, which brings up, you know, a question of kind of what should we name this group, because we're currently the credentials community group. We may want to change our name to something else that is a bit broader in scope, but not identity and not credentials, probably not verifiable claims. So yeah, I think there's a question around naming, and I didn't necessarily want to get into a naming discussion today, but I think it's inevitable that we'll have to do that. If we do choose a new name for this group, we will have to talk with W3C about flipping database fields and things of that nature, because naming changes are very difficult given the current setup. So I don't even know if it's possible. I need to do a follow up to check on that. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, just in terms of what it means for a community group to publish a final report, there is some implication in there that's the end of the community group. Now, of course, Jason LD has continued to work and has more reports to publish, so it doesn't have to be the case. And I just wonder whether anyone else has thought about what that might mean for us.
So real quick, I do have thoughts. The only disadvantage of spinning the group down and starting a new one is we have to get everyone to rejoin the new group. And when I've seen other community groups kind of go through that, they lose half of the people. Maybe that's not a bad thing, but, you know, it would be nice if there was no transition and we could just start on new work versus, you know, making sure everyone joins the new group and spinning this group down and all that kind of stuff. So just thoughts. It's certainly an option. Any other comments on out of scope or naming for the group or, you know, spinning the group down entirely and starting a new group? Go ahead, Dave.
My only thoughts would be let's not cause trouble. We've got a good thing going here. I don't know how really important it is to change the name. And I certainly don't think spinning the group down and spinning one back up with all the same members all working on generally the same sort of ideas, I don't know that that's worth it.
Okay, thanks. Any other thoughts on the subject? Okay, I think that's it for the time allocation for the open mic. Back to you, Dan, for the last topic, which is suggestions for next week's agenda. And I didn't know if you meant the CG or the WG.
It's for the CG. Thanks. It's basically just a chance to wrap up. I want to make one comment. I think it's clear to people here, but just in case. The chairs who are moving, who are transitioning to the working group, still intend to be involved in the CG as well, for anyone who's curious about that. It's more just, you know, we wanted to make clear as far as leadership goes what was happening. Are there any questions, any other discussion topics, anything that needs to happen today before we end the call? Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you in particular to Manu for arranging what's happening for the CG beginning next week. I'm sure the discussions will be ongoing, of course, on you know, on the actual work topics, but it looks like it's in good shape. Thanks, and look forward to talking with many of you next week on the workgroup call.
Great, thanks.
Goodbye.
All.